Luke chapter 12, verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He, the Lord, shall gird Himself and make them sit down to meat or to dinner. And He, the Lord, will come forth and serve them. What an incredible scripture. Father, give us understanding. Eyes that see and hearts that receive. Give us, Lord, understanding of the words of Your Son concerning our watching for His coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of us are excited about seeing the coming of the Lord. And in these days, there is a certain anticipation. There is an awareness that, man, things are taking place. Things are coming down that point to the soonness, the imminency of His coming. Most of us in here are excited about seeing the coming of the Lord. But many of us are anxious about seeing the Lord who is coming. There's a difference. Most of us are excited about seeing the coming of the Lord, but many of us are anxious about seeing the Lord who is coming. It scares us. Because, you see, we think, oh my, I see things happening that point to the fact that the Lord could very well be coming soon, maybe even today. But I'm not ready. No way. Oh, I'm born again, and I love the Lord. But I haven't witnessed to the people that I should have, prayed the way I could have. I haven't accomplished the things which I know that were possible for me to accomplish, and I didn't do it. I failed miserably. And man, if the Lord should come, it would be exciting, but wow. When I see Him, what am I going to say? I think that's the way that Peter felt. Peter the Apostle. You remember him. There in John chapter 21, Jesus had already died for the sins of humanity and had resurrected, come back to life, and the apostles had seen Him. But then there was a lull in the action. And Peter, no doubt, was wrestling with condemnation. For you see, Peter, a few days earlier, had denied Jesus. Denied that he even knew Him with cursings and swearings and really blew it royally. And so Peter finds himself now thinking, my, who am I? I'm going fishing. Now here the Lord in chapter 5 of Luke had told Peter to leave his fishing gear behind and become a fisher of men. But Peter didn't feel qualified. He didn't feel worthy of ministry, so he just said, I'm going to go fishing, back to my old occupation, back to the things I did previously. I know how to do that, and I'm comfortable with that. And 6 other disciples went with him. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. We'll all go back to the old way, fishing. We know about that. We're comfortable in that. So they're out there on the Sea of Galilee, fishing all night, toiling, laboring. And it says, they caught nothing. There, as the morning broke, the dawn of a new day, a stranger called from shore, children, have you caught any meat? Got any fish? And a miracle took place. Those fishermen said, no. For a fisherman to say he hasn't caught anything is nothing short of miraculous. He didn't say, no, but man, you should have seen the one we almost brought in. Or the nibbles have been phenomenal. He just said, nope. Haven't caught a thing. Because exactly as Dave and the group were sharing, man, if you go back, you'll find it's just not there. Go back to the old ways, the old gang, the old trips, the old scene. And you know what you'll find? You won't catch a thing. You can fish all night, but you'll have not only empty nets, but an empty heart as well. It just doesn't work. The stranger then said, well, okay, cast your nets on the other side. Why not? And they took those nets and threw them in. And man, the fish jumped in the nets. So much so that the nets began to pull down the side of the boat. And John, who was the most perceptive of the disciples, said, that's the Lord. And Peter, who was the impetuous one, the activist, where John was the mystic and the insightful one, Peter was the activist and impetuous one. It says, man, he dove in the water and he began to swim for shore with all that he was worth. It's the Lord. Boom, he goes in and he arrives on the scene and he said nothing. He was excited about seeing the coming of the Lord there on the shore. But when he was before the Lord who had come, he felt like a drip. He felt washed up. He felt all wet. He didn't say a word. He just stood there. What could he say? Because see, he was in a place of disobedience right then. He was not to be fishing for fish. He was called to be a fisher of men. The Lord had told him to leave that scene behind. And guess what? He was back at it once more. And at first he's excited, but then he gets there and he goes, uh-oh. What do I say now? And I bet you that bunches of us can relate to that. If the Lord should come back this day, we would say, oh, great, the coming of the Lord. And then, uh-oh, here's the Lord who has come. And I'm not sure that I've been using my time wisely or my money rightly or my gifts faithfully, my talents skillfully. I feel like a drip. And he stood there. He couldn't say a thing. I think that these kind of thoughts are crossing a lot of our minds right now. I know they are with me. I was down at the YMCA a couple days ago, and I was there on that crazy rowing machine. There's a rowing machine where you row against these little sharks that come by and eat you up. And it's a funny little deal. It's got a computer screen and you're supposed to row so fast. And then it shows you on the screen how far you've rowed and how many calories you've burned and all that stuff. And I was sitting there rowing for a few minutes. And I thought, this is stupid. Not only am I not going anywhere, but you know, really, is this the way to use my time most effectively? You know, in light of these days, Lord, is this really a spiritual thing? And I was truly thinking and mulling over those thoughts, really looking for an excuse to stop rowing. I was tired. But I was thinking, is this really wise? Is this dumb? And is this really spiritual? This is absolutely true. And then this little screen flashes how many, like I say, meters you've rowed, how many calories you burned, and how many calories you're burning per hour. And no sooner had I thought that and was just sort of talking to the Lord about that, than this number flashed on how many calories per hour, and it was 666. And I thought, oh, yep. The mark of the beast. And I think, you know, that's the way a lot of us feel. Like, oh man, what I'm doing is out to lunch, off the wall. I'm a drip. This is a waste. I'm not faithful. 666. This is awful. I saw a bumper sticker and it said, Jesus is coming back soon. 3 dots. And boy, is he mad. And I think that that mentality has sort of affected us. Jesus is coming back soon, but man, I know he's going to be mad at me because I haven't been doing what I should have, what I could have, what I really would have. I failed miserably. So there's this dichotomy going on in many of our hearts in the past week or two. We're excited about the second coming, but we're uptight about the Lord who will come. What will we say when we stand before him? Without raising hands, does anybody here relate to those kinds of thoughts? Lord, it's exciting, but Lord, I'm wondering, where do I stand in all of this? And there's Peter, all wet. In the place of disobedience, fishing, when he should have been soul winning. Well, this text really encourages my heart. Jesus here says something which absolutely blows my mind. He says this in our text. Blessed are those servants whom when the Lord comes, he shall find working. Nope. Witnessing. Nope. Praying. Nope. Preaching. Nope. Studying. Nope. Serving. Nope. Jesus said, blessed or happy is the one whom when the Lord comes, he finds watching. The one who realizes, like Peter did on that boat, I've caught nothing. This life is not where it's at. Not really. I understand that with all of my foolishness and frivolity. Man, Lord, I understand that this life really is empty apart from you. And I know when you come back, things are going to be right. And I'm watching for your coming. I'm looking forward to that. Do you have an emptiness in your heart? Because of a relationship that's not working out right, or because of finances which are caving in, or because of physical pains which are eating you up, you're aware of the emptiness of this world. That really it's not fulfilling, not satisfying, not totally, not really, not completely. And you realize, oh Lord, I know that you've promised there's more that's coming. Heaven. And you said, let not your heart be troubled. And I'm watching for them, Lord. I'm watching. Now, the Lord says this. The one who is just watching for his coming is going to be blessed. Because the Lord says, I, the Lord, will gird myself. That is, put on a waiter's outfit, if you would. Gird yourself with a towel. And I will make them to sit down and dine. And I will come forth and serve them. Serve who? Those who are just watching for his coming. I'm going to serve them. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to love on them. I'm going to bless them. Tambo and I were gone to Southern California last weekend, doing some teaching down there. And we were supposed to be back in the afternoon on Tuesday, about 1 o'clock, we had some change of flight plans and we couldn't make it back. And so Tammy called our sitter and heard in the background crying. And it was Benjamin, my 3-year-old boy. And Tambo said, well, could I talk to Benny? And Ben got on the phone and said, Mommy, where are you? I've been watching all day at the window. Where are you? Exactly. And you know what that did when Tammy and I heard that Ben, our sitter told us, he got up in the morning and he plopped himself by the front window on the top of our couch and sat there and wouldn't budge. He just sat there and was watching, watching, watching. Now, when Tammy and I heard that, we didn't say, "Why aren't you working? Is your room clean? What's going on, son? Quit your blubbering and get busy." It didn't hit us that way. We thought, wow. And Tammy's eyes kind of teared up a bit. Wow. Little Benny is watching for our coming. We didn't even ask at that point, has he been good? It didn't affect us that way. We just realized someone, little Benjamin, was watching for mommy and daddy's coming. And man, it warmed our hearts. And we couldn't wait to get home. Not because of how good he was or the works that he accomplished, but just because, where are you, Mom? I've been watching. Ooh. Blessed is the child who is watching for mom and dad. They shall get great toys. Here's Peter, there at the shore, dripping wet, wondering, what am I going to say? No doubt the Lord is mad at me. No doubt I just denied him a few days earlier and now I'm disobeying him and... man, I'm just such a failure. And the Lord breaks the ice as he steps up and says to Peter with hands outstretched, "Hey, Peter, come and dine." And in his hands, what did he have? A hot breakfast for a cold, weary fisherman. And the breakfast consisted of baked fish. Just what Peter and the boys were looking for out there all night and never found. The Lord said, "Hey, Pete, come and dine. Here it is, son." And Peter found in the hand of the Lord, even at a time of disobedience in his life, he found in the hand of the Lord the very thing he was searching for all night long. And never found. Come and die. And you know the story, what happens from there. The Lord says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, you know I like you," Peter says. "I can't really say I love you. I've been disobeying out here fishing." "Peter, feed my sheep." "Do you love me, Peter?" "Lord, I like you. Feed my sheep, Peter." "Do you even like me, Peter?" "Lord, you know all things." "I do like you, you know that." "Feed my lambs, Peter." The Lord was affirming Peter, recommissioning Peter, embracing Peter. Even as Peter had three times denied the Lord, now he has three times the opportunity to be affirmed by the Lord, recommissioned in the Lord. That's Jesus. Now, watch this. This is too good. It's just wonderful for me. It says the Lord will come to the one who is watching. And just like he did with Peter, who was speechless and dripping and not knowing what to say or what to do, the Lord came to serve him with fish in hand. It says that the Lord shall gird himself and make them to sit down and eat. Why would the Lord have to make us sit down and eat? Because my tendency in the flesh is to do what? To pop up and to run around. "Okay, Lord, listen, I'm going to serve you. I always want to be the one serving. I feel like I've got to prove something to the Lord. Lord, I read 4 chapters today. Not bad, huh? Look how nice I was to them, Lord, and they're real jerks. And you see, we have this tendency to want to stand up, not me, Lord, and we get going. See, we stand up and the Lord is going to make you sit down. Johnny, sit and let me serve you. You serve me, Lord. I'm making you to sit down so I can love on you and bring to you. Oh, this rings a bell, doesn't it? Another time when the Lord girded himself as it relates to this same Peter. It was a few weeks before the event we just talked of. It was a few hours before Jesus was crucified there in the upper room. The disciples sat around the table and were arguing about which of them was the greatest. And they all had dirty, stinking feet, which in that culture, for those times, that was unacceptable. That was grotesque and terrible. You were to have washed feet when you came into the room, and that was expected and customary. It was culturally mandated, if you would. But none of them had bothered to position themselves as a servant and wash feet, or even bother to wash their own. They just sat there, arguing about who was the greatest among them. What happened? Jesus, it says, rose up from the supper, girded himself with a towel, and went around washing feet. Peter stood up. Not me, Lord. You're not washing my feet. Lord, no. Uh-uh. The Lord said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, I can't have relationship with you. Well, then wash me from head to toe, Lord. Give me a total bath. Oh, Peter, sit down. It's just your feet that need washing. Let me be the Lord. Let me decide what to do. Let me be who I am. And Peter has to sit down and let the Lord wash his feet. Jesus girding himself and washing the feet of Peter. Why is this? Why did Jesus then, in John 13, wash their feet and serve them? In John 21, cook fish and present to him? What is this thing about Jesus that says simply, I'm going to bless those who are just looking for my coming? Not those that are working necessarily, or witnessing necessarily, or preaching, or praying, or tithing, or whatever it might be. Just those who are watching for me. I'm going to make them sit down. I know their tendency to want to pop up and prove something. I'll just tell them, sit down, son. Sit down, daughter. I love you. Let me serve you, because you are just watching for my coming. All of a sudden, here's what happens. Tune in here. All of a sudden, Jesus Christ, even at the table in John 13, on the shore of the Sea of Galilee in John 21 that we spoke of previously, Jesus Christ has the preeminence. It's no more me saying, here's my trophies, Lord. At your coming, here's my trophies, but rather, I am a trophy of your incredible grace. It's no more who I am, Lord, it's who you are, that you would gird yourself and serve me and love me. Incredible. It's no longer my greatness, it's Lord, your graciousness. Undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor. It's no longer what I've done. It's, Lord, what you did on the cross when you died for my sins and cleansed me completely. And you know what? When people get to heaven and they see me sitting at the table and Jesus girding himself and serving me, they're going to scratch their heads, people that are there and angels that are watching, and say, my! the Lord Jesus Christ is so gracious that he would serve such a one as John. Serve such a one as you. And people in heaven are going to be marveling not at what we did, gang, but who he is. You see, it's not so much the trophies that you get. It's the trophy that you are. You are a trophy of God's grace. Outside of Bend a few months ago, I stopped off at a little shop there, off one of the highways. And it was one of those places where they sell wood carvings. And I was looking at these raccoons and bears and stuff that was carved, and it was pretty good, but it wasn't great. It was just pretty good. Until the shopkeeper told me something. He said, you know, these little bears and raccoons and all this, these little animals and figures, what do you think of them? I said, they're pretty nice. Well, he proceeded to tell me in the conversation that they were carved by a guy holding a chainsaw. And all of a sudden, I was impressed. A guy with a chainsaw carving these little birds and bears and raccoons with a chainsaw? And I thought, my, that changes everything. Those are great. Considering the tools that he had to work with, the material he was working on, that is great. What a skilled, incredible workman to make such things with a chainsaw. So too, you and I, clunky, chipped, not all that impressive in our appearing, in our doing, in our being. But when you consider what the Lord had to work with, I mean, people in heaven, the angels that are already there, the four and living creatures, whatever else is beyond is going to look at you and look at me and say, incredible what the Lord has done, considering what he had to work with. And in all things, Christ Jesus will have the preeminence. Now, one more thing. Well, John, aren't we to have crowns? Yes. But guess what? Paul says this, and I'll just read it to you real quickly. Paul talks about his own life, and he says, for I am now ready to be offered, or ready to die. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Oh, Paul, wonderful. You fought the good fight. You've run the race. You've done well. He says, henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. This crown of righteousness, this right crown, he's going to give to me in that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The crown of righteousness, you see, is not given to those who fight the good fight necessarily, or run the race successfully. The crown of righteousness is given to those who love his appearing. Lord, I realize with empty nets and empty hearts that this world is not really where it's at. Not totally, Lord. Oh, you bless us and delight us, but Lord, there's got to be more. We're looking for your coming. And I'm watching. And when he comes, for those who are watching for his coming, a crown of righteousness, the same crown that Paul talked about that he would be receiving, will be given to every single person who is there watching for his appearing. All of a sudden, this changes my perspective rather radically. I want to go to heaven not to say, here are my trophies and my crowns and my glories, but so I can walk around and have people say, my, the Lord has been gracious and good and merciful to include a person like John in the kingdom of eternity. Christ has the preeminence. Jesus receives the worship. You who feel that you are failures, really, in reality, you are a trophy of God's mercy and kindness and love. You need not be fearing His appearing when you realize, Lord, You're there simply to give love to those who are like Benjamin. Lord, where are You? I'm watching for Your coming. Lord, I'm a trophy. Not I get trophies, I am a trophy of Your grace. A picture of Your mercy. Shall we pray? I would ask, Lord, that this might be a day in which many of us might find ourselves no longer worried about what we will have to give, but rather we will find ourselves, Lord, delighting in showing what You have given, including us in Your kingdom. That Jesus, You would have the preeminence. That the attention indeed shall be fixed upon Thee, Lord. Not upon our accomplishments, but upon what You did to save us and to keep us and to bring us to that table that You have set before us. We determine this day, Jesus, to watch for Your coming. And this we do. We really do, Lord. Thank You for Your mercy. Your mercy with Peter there on the seashore of Galilee. And Your mercy with me so constantly. We bless You and love You. And we watch for Your coming in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.